How did the universe get created?
How it got created is problematic. But the interesting thing is that it was created. For centuries, scientists were convinced that the universe had just been here forever and it would be the same tomorrow. So the interesting thing is the fact it was created and how we know it was created.
See, we've asked someone who really knows and knows how to explain it too. That's Simon Singh, Cambridge PhD, physicist, author, and BBC television personality. His new book, Big Bang, The Origin of the Universe, tells the story of how the world has come to understand and accept that the universe might have a starting point and therefore an ending point. Mr. Singh has previously written the best-selling Fermat's Enigma and The Code Book. He joins us in our studios. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
You refer to the Big Bang as one of the most important and glorious scientific achievements of the 20th century. But to be difficult for a moment, I mean, how do we know? What if it's wrong?
Oh, it could be wrong. That's one of the interesting things about science is you never know anything for certain. And when the Big Bang idea was first proposed, it was a maverick, outlandish theory that nobody believed in. The person who came up with the idea was a Belgian priest called Georges Lemaître, and the entire establishment completely rubbished him and his idea. But then as each decade passed, people came across more evidence that seemed to imply that the Big Bang really did happen. If you look at all the evidence in an unbiased way, I think 99% of working scientists would back the Big Bang theory.
Mm-hmm. Well, review for us how this understanding of the origin of the universe, which is to say at some point ourselves and our place in it, seemed to accumulate over the 20th century. Because when the century began, scientists, not just clergy, were very comfortable with the idea of an eternal universe, the steady state.
Yes, and maybe even the clergy liked the idea of a moment of creation, but scientists rejected that. Scientists said, no, the universe has been here forever, because if it's been here forever, we don't need to worry about awkward questions like when it was created or how it was created. And then somebody comes up with a theory of the Big Bang. They didn't talk about a Big Bang. They talked about a day without a yesterday, which is a nice poetic refrain. But anybody can come up with an idea. That the important thing is how can you prove it? Does your idea match reality? And the idea was that the universe was small and compact and hot and dense, and it exploded and expanded outwards. Now, if that's the case, then you would expect that all the matter today would still be expanding and exploding outwards. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, when Edwin Hubble in about 1929 looked up at the galaxies, every single one of the distant galaxies is receding away from us. So it's just as though these galaxies are debris from a cosmic explosion. So that's the first really serious evidence in favor of the Big Bang. Then in the late 1940s, a couple of Washington physicists, George Gamow and Ralph Alpha at George Washington University, they said, OK, we like the idea of a Big Bang. If the Big Bang happened, in the very beginning there'd be tremendous heat, tremendous density, and this would have given rise to nuclear reactions. And this would have formed helium from hydrogen. And if the Big Bang theory is correct, and pretty much nobody believes it, but if it were correct, then the universe should be made of 3/4 hydrogen, 1/4 helium. And sure enough, when you go and look at the universe, that's what it's made of. So when a theory begins to make predictions, and then you look at reality and reality matches the predictions, that's how that theory gains credence. Maybe the best bit of evidence was another prediction made in the 1940s, which was that the Big Bang should have left a blast of radiation. Mm-hmm. And that radiation should still be here today in the form of microwaves. And sure enough, if you point a microwave detector up into space, you detect microwaves, exactly the right wavelength as the Big Bang theory would predict. And if people have a radio and they tune it in between stations, about 1% or 2% of that hiss is energy microwaves from the Big Bang. It's a real theory with real testable pieces of evidence out there.
Dr. Singh, remind us why this is of such urgent interest to us to know.
Oh, it's not. It's not at all. Nobody needs to know any of this. People need to know what the traffic report's like, what the weather's like, what they've got in their fridge. But once we've satisfied those needs of staying warm and being fed and having a house to stay in, then we begin to wonder. We begin to create. We begin to create music. We begin to create poetry. And we begin to create theories about the world around us. And humans have done this for millennia. Every civilization has come up with its own theory of creation. The difference is that those theories in the past were myths. They were cultural. Your culture could have a theory of creation, my culture could have a theory of creation, and we couldn't really argue or debate them. What science says is that, no, we can come up with a theory of creation, which if you don't like it, you can criticize it, and you can maybe come up with a better one, and we can test it against reality. This benchmark of reality becomes really important. And today, you know, we're part of the very first generation of humans where scientists can give us a coherent and consistent, verifiable theory of the universe and its history and its origins. And we call that theory the Big Bang Theory.
The part that distresses some people, and not that they are in a position necessarily to challenge it factually, but I mean just as human beings in our lonely souls spinning around the universe depresses us, is the idea that if the universe has a starting point, it has an end point. And at some point, all this that burns so gloriously around us gets cold and dark and inhospitable.
The future of the universe, I mean,
No time this weekend.
Two points to stress. One is that the Big Bang happened, and people know that for a fact, I think, as much as anything can be a fact in science. But the Big Bang theory isn't complete. Cosmology isn't complete. There are still some great unanswered questions, and you've highlighted one of them. How is it all going to end? In the past, people speculated that gravity would slow down the expansion. So the universe expands, gravity pulls it back, maybe stops the expansion, maybe even causes a contraction, and the universe may even contract into what's called a big crunch. Then in 1998, astronomers noticed that actually the universe isn't slowing down. It's actually accelerating. It's getting faster and faster. The universe almost seems to be tearing itself apart. And nobody understands that. Nobody has a clue as to what's driving this expansion and how it may end. Maybe it's just a temporary phase of super expansion. Maybe it'll slow down again to a more moderate rate. But this is one of the great unanswered questions. If the expansion does continue and if it does accelerate, then energy will get spread more and more thinly through the universe. Matter will get spread more and more thinly through the universe. The universe will become more desolate and ultimately more lifeless. So, you know, the universe could, in due course, freeze to death.
We're talking how many millions of years, though?
Countless billions of years into the future. And there's no need to worry about that because in about 5 billion years, the sun will expand and swallow us up anyway. So there's
no need to run out and get milk now.
No. And then the Andromeda galaxy will collide with our galaxy and destroy us before that happens as well. So yeah. This is an ultimate death of the universe, an ultimate death of all life within the universe.
Recognizing you're a scientist and respecting your rationalism, will you entertain a question that I guess begins with St. Augustine? Who, of course, this was before steady state, Big Bang, all that sort of thing. But St. Augustine, as you note, asked what came before creation.
Yes.
Which we can apply that to the Big Bang. Okay, so let's accept that the Big Bang began the universe.
What went bang? That's at the two extremes. We don't know what's going to happen in the end, the fate of the universe, and scientists don't really know what happened at the very beginning. You can run the film of the universe backwards to the first minute, to the first second, to the first billionth of a second, even as far back as the first billionth of a billionth of a billionth of a second. Mm-hmm. And you have a really good picture of how the universe evolved. But that very first fraction of a second is a mystery. People certainly speculate about it. Just because scientists today don't know the answer, it doesn't mean in the future they won't. For example, one theory, I think really put forward by somebody, say Lee Smolin is a proponent of this. He says that universes might be able to give birth to other universes. So our universe may have been born out of a mother universe, and we may have daughter universes being born from our own universe. But coming back to St. Augustine, the very first time I ever spoke about cosmology was in Edinburgh. And within 10 seconds of finishing my talk, a woman put her hand up on the back row and said, "What came before the Big Bang?" And I told her a bit about Lee Smolin's ideas. And then I referred her to St. Augustine, and I tried to explain to her what he'd said when he'd been asked the theological equivalent, which is, what was God doing before he created the universe? And when St. Augustine was asked that, he said, well, when I think about it, what was God doing before he created the universe? Well, he was creating hell for people who ask questions like you. So it's a very fair and valid question, but it's a tough one.
Dr. Singh, pleasure talking to you. Thanks very much.
Oh, thank you very much.
Simon Singh, his new book is Big Bang, The Origin of the Universe. And for more on the origin of the universe, including an excerpt from Mr. Singh's book, you can go to our website, npr.org.